Show.
All right, everyone, welcome back to episode 166 of the 580 Show. Just myself this week with a special guest, Aaron Moody. Aaron, first off, thank you for joining us, man.
Really. Thank you for inviting me.
I know, as you guys can tell, just from those quick few words, he's not from the U.S., so always a little different. We were just talking about it before getting the times lined up, but man, I messaged you like very last minute. Ever since I got into training, I always scroll Elite FTS, like to read articles. Aaron is a strength conditioning coach. He's Westside Barbell certified. You're a 105 kilo strongman competitor, and you actually authored up an article on Elite FTS, which I thought is really cool, and which I want to be the main premise of our discussion today. But it's 531 for strongman.
And, takes me back a few years, but
yeah, it's an older thing, and I've actually cited it, not literally cited it, but referenced it, I guess, in discussions and maybe even on this podcast a couple times. This article, because I've played around with 531 for strongman, and I think it's a very well put together article. And the main thing is, I hear a lot of novices, even just people that have been in strongman for a while, maybe due to a financial situation, they can't hire a coach. And I saw this and I was like, man, this is a really good time to have the author of this article on and explain how to follow this. And it provides an avenue to be able to kind of just program for yourself, follow a template and go.
That was the plan for it. Yeah. Keep it simple, keep it cheap, and hopefully effective.
Yeah. So when you put this article together, was it just, I mean, I know in the article you talk about how you just like to write stuff down, and obviously you're a strength conditioning coach, you're Westside Barbell certified, as I said. So you probably had some Wendler influence in your coaching with him, you know, is his time at Westside. So just kind of talk me through it. Like, how did you go ahead and start putting it together?
I started putting the 531 for strongman together about 2 years after I started training strongman myself, like specifically to compete in strongman. And I put it together because I always liked the simplicity of 531. It's one that I recommend to anyone who does like message asking, what's the best template? What's a great way to get started? If they know the techniques and the techniques are, you know, safe and effective, take 531. It's so simple. It's so easy to program. It's got the weights built in for you. It's very easy to manipulate those little numbers. And it's fun. It's really, really fun to take those top plus sets and just run yourself into the ground, especially when you are like log press for reps, for example. It's minging. It's a horrible event. So having those plus sets built in, I think, is really effective for strongman training.
Yeah.
And
everyone loves those plus sets. Like, I work with a high school football team, and I think like giving them that 5-3 or 1+, whatever, you know, is we use 5-3-1. It's exactly like you described it. I love the simplicity. I've always gravitated towards it, and I always recommend it. So that's kind of why I gravitated towards your article and wanted to speak with you. So,
and but even with in-person clients, we still will use 531 structure, not every week, but it's such a basic way to get some good volume in at a high percentage, or a high enough percentage to stimulate your response.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you talked about in the article, but one of the main things in 531 is starting lighter and then, you know, you work, but I know you've probably felt this way. I know I have, is like, it's sucks at first when you feel like you're dialed back, but it's so rewarding when you stick with it for months, you know, wave after wave. And then it's like, really, you're like, oh man, you know, you look back and you're like, I'm hitting for my 1+ what I was hitting for my 5+ now, you know what I mean? So it's super rewarding, but it is a slow start.
It is a slow start, but I think the reason I put it into a template, thinking about it being a slow start, is it gives people time with the program. And lots of people want to change every 6 weeks, want to change every 8 weeks. And, you know, that's fine if that's how you keep your training fresh and interesting. But to see, like you said, long-term progress where you see your old one turn into a five, like, that's a huge jump in strength. And 531 allows you to do that like every 4 weeks without fail if you're just sticking to the numbers.
Right. Now, do you like to switch up accessories every 4 weeks?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Very much West Side influence there.
Yeah, yeah.
In my own training.
Yeah, I figured as much. So, you know, like, I always feel like that's one way to combat it is like some people's gripe about 531 is like boring, you know, yeah. Because it's 531 deload or whatever variation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I will say, first off, with your template, the main movement is a lot less boring with strong, at least to me, because it's strongman stuff. And obviously I gravitate towards strongman, but with like different exercises paired, you know, superset together, I really like the layout. But what I was getting to is like changing the accessories is one way. Like anyone listening that they're getting bored in training or whatever is one very simple way to combat that, you know, changing it.
Agreed.
Just change your accessories.
Just mess around with the accessories and the tempo of the main lift. If you're really looking for a challenge 1 week and you don't feel like doing, I don't know, your five plus set because you just feel wrecked, do a hard tempo five or something. You don't need to change the whole thing. Just a little variance just to keep it interesting and, like I said, fun and stop it being a bit boring, which all training can be eventually, I guess.
Yeah.
If you're doing it 20 years, 15 years, whatever it is, you start to see the same patterns now and then.
Yeah. No, I'm just a big proponent too. Like I tell people all the time, you know, I've been strength training for over 10 years and I still look forward to going to the gym as much tomorrow as I did the first time I ever did, you know, and it's like, so if you're getting bored of your training, find little fun ways to make it fun, you know?
Absolutely.
But yeah, so we will have this article linked like on the podcast episode and on the YouTube link.
Cool.
So people can kind of follow along and reference like as I'm talking about this, but it's definitely a great one to save and keep. And you even have, you know, if someone signed up for their first show, the prep structure.
Yeah, I've got the prep in there.
And even just some, like, I liked it at the end when you added, like, some tips, some common tips for maybe some novices, stuff like that.
Yeah, the FAQs that I don't really get, but I thought I might get one day.
Yeah, for sure. So when you, after you wrote this program, did you get a lot of feedback on it? Do you still, like, did you get questions? So what were, like, some of the questions? And I guess also, well, I'll follow up. What are some of the main questions you get that someone may not be answering the article that you would have put in now?
Most of the main ones came about how I'd recommend changing it for the person who was meshing their specific contest. Like they'd send me their event list and they'd say, oh, would you mind helping putting this into the template for me? And of course, I'm happy to help. It takes, you know, 10, 15 minutes of chatting to someone.
Yeah.
The other big one was on percentages and, oh, can I put my percentage up if I keep my reps down? And no. Obviously, yes, of course you can, but Jim wrote the article with that structure in mind. So I do try to encourage people to stick to it.
For sure.
And like I said, you can, like, you might get a really cool, like 15 rep max one day, some of the you never thought you'd handle for that kind of volume. And there's something about that kind of like 15 rep deadlift where you just dying at the ass end of it, but
right. I also will say, like, I mean, Jim Wendler is probably sold the most books out of any powerlifting, you know, program ever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And this is no knock on Jim because he's like my dream guest on this pod. But I almost have an argument that 531 is more built for strongman due to the reason that you just said, those AMRAP sets. Because if you think about a contest, if a contest is super light for you relatively, or you're a super good deadlifter, you know, you're going to have that 8 to 15.
Yeah.
You could potentially hit 15 reps in a contest. A Viking press is super light for you, you know, et cetera. So I actually have an argument that Wendler secretly kind of wrote it for strongman. So
he wrote a strongman plan, not a powerlifting one.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, high reps are good for powerlifting too, and I'm only kidding, but I really see how applicable this program is for strongman athletes. So that's why I love 531 for, I can almost tie it to anything that anyone does, any sport that anyone does is why I love it so much.
I think that's what drew me to it. Like, you could apply it to pretty much anything where you've got to push your strength up.
Right.
Like, you can build a two-day template around it. I mean, Jim's built some. I don't think I've got a two-day template in my... Oh, actually, yes, I do. Yeah, at the start, there's a two-day template, which you could obviously adjust for general athletics if you wanted to. You could use the same movements even. That's the wonderful thing about strongman, is there is a lot of full body motion in there. So you're going to get stronger for any sport, especially things like football, rugby, American football, not soccer.
No, I know when our kids will go into their season, we'll have them train a 2 day a week, and it'll be a modified style 5-3-1, you know? So 100%, you're right. And what are some of the things, what are some of the changes that you made taking a traditional 5-3-1 program and then catering to strongman?
I think the biggest change that I put in when I wrote it is I have a clean day in there. So a day to practice the clean work. And it was only from experience, like my experience of strongman at that point was a lot of people were great pressers and shit with their clean.
Yeah.
And that seems to be less and less the case nowadays. The more time I spend in that sport, especially in the weight class strongman, you've got guys like Shane Germain, Josh Lancaster putting out lots of information on the Olympic lifting style of technique with the vertical torso dip.
Yes.
And lots of people now can clean really nicely. If I were to rewrite it now, I might change that a little bit. Maybe if you were weak at the clean and strong at the press, I'd keep it that way. But I'd probably do two clean and press with different implements or something along those lines instead.
Yeah.
But that was the only real change I made, I think. Obviously, the back squat became the front squat.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of leading you towards. So, but no, front squats suck. You know, not a lot of people like front squats, but it's one argument I make a lot is that I think it ties the strongman so much more. And I hope I'm not making this up, but I think you talk about it in the article of why front squat is more specific to strongman.
I do. It's just where we load most of our weight, isn't it? It's going to be any Conan sandbag, any of that shit that's up on your chest, stopping you getting in that proper breath and still having to maintain good position and not black out.
Right.
Like the amount of front squats I've taken, I fucked it at the bottom and just...
Weight class athletes, you know, supporting like a log, like I'm an 80 kilo, like it, 100%. I'd be curious your thoughts on this too. As a coach, I've been putting in sumo deadlifts in my strongman competitors off seasons. And I it's funny because it's like a joke and some people take it way too seriously. It's like sumo's cheating and strongman and stuff. But if you really break down any movement, not any movement, but a lot of movements that we do in strongman, it's actually very fundamentally similar to a sumo deadlift.
Like, couldn't agree more. That wide go pick up an Atlas stance.
Yeah, the wide stance for the sandbags, the stones, a Husafell.
Tension through the hip, making sure you're driving out so you break the ground correctly with the implement.
I
do use it, not again off-season work, and it's not super often, maybe in rotation with things like stone pickups, sandbag pickups,
right?
Especially if it's raining.
No, it's funny. You mentioned Josh Lancaster. He was on this pod before, and you mentioned Shane. Over there, you guys have Tom Hibbert as well, who's my coach.
He's also fantastic.
It's crazy. You guys are pushing out a lot of content right now. And one thing that I've taken from American strongman coaches to you guys over there, and this might not even be for your coaching style, but I've noticed with Josh and some other people is specificity with events. And I feel like that's one thing that I kind of missed out on when I first started getting into it seriously, is that I just did compound movements and I throw in like a movement every once in a while, but really practicing the movements can go a long way. And I don't
Josh Lancaster, I think, is a great example of that.
Yes. And I don't know if I'm making that up, but I feel like you guys are kind of pushing the weight. I don't know if it's just I follow Josh.
I think you're really right. Shane didn't coach me directly. It was Dan Ashcroft, his 2IC.
I
did a lot of work with Shane over that. And the amount of positional stuff they had me doing.
Yeah.
Because I had a really poor, like, thoracic position. for a lot of the lifts. So they were there making me get upright for the dips. And it absolutely changed my log, changed my Atlas stone load.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you said, it's not something I thought about. It's not something I was taught coming into the sport or as an S&C coach in general, like that very position-specific strength. And you're right, we are pushing out loads of it.
Yeah.
Josh with his hot potato drill when he does the axle.
Yeah.
The upright torso and the feet moving out as he does the jumps. It's so cool.
Josh is also one of the guys, like, I've been at, I think, two contests that Josh has been at. We've competed at the same contest, different weight classes. But he's one of those guys that I find super interesting to watch warm up. I don't know if you've ever seen him in a warm-up room, but he takes a very different approach than a lot of lifters. And I find little stuff like that fascinating. And I feel like it's like just learning every time I go to a competition. And Josh is like one of those guys I feel like I can watch.
I've only done one with Josh. He actually did the under 105 England's, what was it? No, year before last. But I didn't see him warm up. What was unusual about it?
I don't know if I can even like really explain it. He's just like always, it just always seems like he's like doing something and it's like an extremely like controlled chaos.
Yeah.
Like with him back there. I don't really, I really wish I had a more elegant way to say it, but yeah, no.
I think that's I think you get the idea pretty well.
Yeah, no, but he pushes out so much content. So does Tom. So does MSTS, MST Systems. There's so much good content out there everywhere. So, but
it really is. Yeah.
But like, yeah, your program, your article, for example, like I think it's a great testament to how much stuff is just out there and readily available for strongman competitors, which is kind of my point of having you on, like just to kind of explain, like there's so many people out there that have put out, like, I don't know when you've started training, but when I fell in love with it, when I was like 18 or 19, yeah. You had to go onto like bodybuilding.com forums and like just search. I just remember and Elite FTS was, they were starting to get good articles. So I would read every single Elite FTS article. I'd read every single T Nation article. There is just so much stuff out there now that is just like one click of a button. Okay, here's how to do 531 for strongman. Start it today if you want. You know what I mean?
You're right. That wasn't there. When did you start training? 15, 10 years? 10 years.
Yeah, about 11 years ago. 10, 11 years ago.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, strongman specifically, little over, about 6 years now.
Nice.
So, yeah. One,
yeah, there is.
One thing about your article that I will say too, that I was super jealous, is that Jim Wendler actually commented on it too.
Did Jim, Dave, and CJ, CJ Murphy wrote a 531 for strongman.
Yes.
Before mine. And I had read it. And obviously it inspired bits of it, but I wanted to put together an all-encompassing template that anyone could take away and use for as long as they wanted. But I was really lucky. I got to speak to Dave and Jim because of that article when it was written.
That's so
highlight cool. Of my little coaching career at that point.
Yeah, man, that's so cool. So, this article is back, 2017, 2018?
2017, 2018, yeah, about
okay.
Then. Yeah, sure.
So is there anything now that you would change? Like, I mean, because, training evolves, stuff evolves, new stuff happens. Is there anything that you would change if you went back and wrote this program?
Ooh. I'm trying to remember which way around I structured it in the end. Yes, like I said, the first one I'd look at is I might not do a clean, exclusive day in a template. I'd probably have two pressing days. I know that the clean day has some press work in it, but I'd have the full motion, as we spoke, a bit more specific, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe have a log day in an axle day or a log day in a barbell. Just something to keep that in there. Other than that, because it's a template, there's probably some little bits I'd change, but the idea was to keep it simple.
Yeah.
And easy to follow. So no, probably not loads of changes.
Sweet. That's really cool. What about you? What's going on with your, with you as a strongman? Because I know when you wrote this article, just from reading it, like, you had kind of just been competing for like 1 or 2 years at that point.
Yeah, hadn't done a lot.
Yeah.
So I've done England's Strongest Man the last 2 years now. 2 years? Yeah, two. And I was set to do my qualifier in 2 weeks, but I've got a distal tear in the shoulder bicep. So I can't clean the axle or hold the sandbag. So yeah. I think I'll probably have to miss that one this year. But obviously, we've got Chaos Strength Promotions here.
Yes, yes. Luke's been on this podcast too. Yep.
Yeah, Luke's a monster. I love Luke. Yeah. But they do a bunch of great shows, and they do the qualifiers for the Pro Strongman League now here in the UK. So later in the year, hopefully heal this up and take a swing at one of the international shows, see if I can get my first international in.
Yeah, there you go.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, they just announced that OSG's in Madison, Wisconsin this upcoming year. I don't know.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't see it, no.
They moved the location. Yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's nice to spread it around a bit. Let athletes see a different part of the like country as well.
For sure. For sure. But no, man, I appreciate it. Like I told you before, I got to run to the hospital to have my first kid, like right Absolutely. After, potentially right after this episode ends. But man, is there anything else that you want? Your Instagram handle will be on screen for anyone watching on YouTube and in the comments. So, So make sure you guys are following Aaron, because he's a strength coach, obviously, and make sure you're checking out this article, because I think there's a ton that people can get out of it and benefit from it. So share it around. Message Aaron if he doesn't mind, if you have any questions.
Yeah, no, shoot him over. I like talking to strangers. Bring it on.
Yeah. But Aaron, thank you so much, man. And if there's anything you ever need to promote, you're always welcome on the podcast, man. I appreciate you hopping on so last minute for me and explaining your awesome article.
Thank you for having me, man. I really enjoyed it.
Hey, nice meeting you, and I'll talk to you soon.
You too, brother. Best of luck, man. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.